Well, that's going to be my thought this morning. It's in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen.
Amen.
I had a particular burden this morning for the young people, so I hope it's for everybody, but you young people, listen. I think the Lord wants to say something to you. We teach and believe pretty straight life. We teach the Bible.
Yes.
But there's a lot of ways of seeing it. People see it a lot of different ways.
Yes.
Used to hear it more than we do now. Saved, sanctified, and satisfied. I used to hear that a lot. Don't hear it much anymore. The idea of the sanctified life. Got this old carnal nature took care of. Those things mean something.
Yes.
You need to see something with that. That's what I'm saying. The reality of living that way. A reality of it. And I'm afraid what happens and what's happened a lot is that when it's not seen, we have a need to bring ourselves into the reality of what the Scriptures is saying. So I'm either going to match my life with the Scriptures or I'm going to match the Scriptures to my life. That second one's dangerous.
Yes.
And rather foolish. But it's rather common to do, because if I'm going to live for God and I'm going to live this way, I'm going to have to be able to know that I'm living to what the Bible says. So it brings a contradiction in my life if I don't have that. And young people is especially vulnerable, because if you think about it, I got saved when I was 24 years old. Every decision I made from a man's point of view. Nobody made me do it. And if I didn't want to do it, I could have told you I'm not going to do it. And you couldn't make me do it. So everything that I did, every choice that I made in living for the Lord, I done it from an absolute free will.
Yes.
Young people, you were raised somebody else telling you that. And there comes a point many times that you may not be just as convinced about it as I was. And also there is a difference in the way things look from being a man that understands things and being a child. I've seen church problems from so-called sanctified people. Now listen, I'm real. I'm real. We're going to get real.
Amen.
There's ugly actions sometimes out of people who claim salvation and sanctification and above those kind of things. That's true. I've seen it much myself. Maybe you have too. Maybe you're a young person today that's been in family problems. There's been family problems. There's been people that were supposed to be there, and it didn't work. Salvation didn't work. We say that way. But that's what happens. There's times that people look at the situation and say, something has changed, something needs to be different. This isn't working. This isn't working. Do you know how many people I've known that sought for deliverance that didn't get it? Never got it. And when all this happens, then if we're not careful, we'll say, we've got to do something else. When saved and sanctified isn't satisfied anymore, And when it doesn't lift me above my humanity, it doesn't lift me, I say humanity, I mean my carnality. When I do go through those steps and there's no place there that makes me any better than any guy on the street, then honestly, I don't have to get real and say there's something wrong with this picture. But before you throw it away, I want you to think again about it. Because there's nothing wrong with the plan.
Amen.
I had a guy say, I remember a guy said, he said it several times. He said, when are we going to quit riding this old dead horse? You know, I thought about that quite a bit. Who wouldn't want to be on a dead horse? Then I realized there's nothing wrong with the horse. We ain't been on it. That was the problem. The horse. The problem is we ain't been on the horse. God has more for us, folks. And in our day and time, we could say in many ways, maybe there is things that's different. It wears on us. Time wears on us. Situations wear on us. We see problems here. We see problems there. We see things that we are disappointed in. You may be disappointed in a person. You may be disappointed in something over here, or somebody didn't live up to that, or there wasn't healing in something, or there wasn't help in something, or something like that. But before you throw it away, reconsider. Before you go off to another idea and say, this idea of living a good, righteous life, the Bible doesn't say that. It really does teach that we're all sinners and we sin all the time, and that we're really just down here on the earth and we'll be made better when we get over there. That is the common doctrine that people go to when they can't do no better. Well, because it makes sense to everybody. It makes sense to my humanity now. When I lose my temper and go off, then it makes total sense to me. And Jesus loves me anyway, and there was never any power any better. And that's what the Bible is really talking about. But before we go there,
yes.
I want to look at this scripture in Genesis. You pray for me. The story of Abraham, the father of faith. I read a commentary on him that said that his whole life led to this moment that we're going to read here. It was all about, this is the climax of his life. This is where he was brought, where God brought him to this place. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave, the wood for the burnt offering. I think that's interesting. And when you see the type of this, when you see the type of Isaac, the sacrifice, carrying that wood, it brings you to a mind, don't it?
Yes.
This is all depicted this way. And rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. There's some that say, no one's sure, but they surmise that, I've read it, that this, where this took place, ended up being where the temple was built. Some assume that it was either there or close to there. I read it that they think it was the exact spot that Jesus was crucified. I don't know that they could know it, but there's some that assume that it was there. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood off the burnt offering of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide him a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen.
Yes.
You know, that must have been hard in any place and at any time for a human to have been in a place, to got to that place, and to took his son with the full intention that he was going to do what the Lord wanted him to do. But you know, he saw the Lord. This is probably talking that the Lord saw him, but in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. You know what was the spectacular thought of this? Is that Abraham gave his all.
Yes.
We don't see the work of the Lord and blame it on understanding, blame it on others. We blame it on God's disinterest, maybe. We blame it on a lot of things. But when the perfect price is paid, God will be seen.
Yes.
This is what I want to leave with you young people. Just because there's failures isn't a problem with the plan. It isn't a problem with God. It's a problem with people coming to the full sacrifice and surrender to God.
Yeah.
In the mount of the Lord, it will be seen.
Yeah.
What we're looking for, what we're longing for, what we need, it will be found there in Him.
Amen.
It always has been. The failure is not on God. It's on us.
Yeah.
To get to that place. Several years ago, I don't think my sister would mind me telling this. Several years ago, it was a Monarch meeting. And as is, there's always quite a multitude of people there. And a young woman went to the altar and was out in the world. She was just rough, out in the world, girl, and she went to the altar to get saved. And they worked with her. They worked with her. Prayed with her. Rebuked the devil. Couldn't get anything. Couldn't get nothing. Rebuked. Labored. Couldn't get anything. And finally, my sister was telling me, she says to the girl, Okay, what are you holding back? What is it? Well, I said, I'm living with this guy. There it is.
Yes.
There it is. Well, there's a problem with deliverance. Just don't see the deliverance anymore. We just don't see the deliverance at the altars anymore. Just don't see a real good there. Has God changed?
No.
No, He hasn't changed. He's still a mighty delivering God. And the people that get delivered will come the same way they've always come to get deliverance.
Yes.
And when they meet that, they can get the same deliverance that they got all the way back in Paul and Peter's day. Yeah. It's in the mount of the Lord that this shall be seen. As long as she hung on to that, you could rebuke the devil till you was blue in the face. You could have jumped up and you could do all the antics. You could do all you wanted to do. And as long as she held that, no deliverance.
That's right.
No deliverance. Well, why does Mom act like she does? Good question. Why does Dad act like he does? Why is the church people acting like they do? Listen, I'm not unsaving everybody. One of those saints are good people. I'm just telling you, we can get that in there and say, we've got to bring this together some way. And I'm going to tell you, there's a place where it's real. There's a place where we have it and we know that God has answered us and God is with us. And that this is a truth. That this is absolutely a truth. That God has a powerful plan of salvation that works in men's lives here that can deliver you from your selfish carnal attitudes and ways.
Yes.
And lift you above that. And we're desperate to see it. Because if we don't see it, we're going to lose a lot of people from it. We're desperate to know it, to see it, to experience it.
Amen.
We're desperate to have the Lord lead us to our place.
Yes.
So that we can have an experience of it too. Several years ago, a man came to me and said, I want you to pray for me. I said, you want to pray now? Yeah, I want you to go pray with me. It's in the middle of the afternoon at a meeting. And he said, I want the Lord to deliver me from a smoking habit. But I said, well, I believe the Lord can and will.
Yes.
I believe that. So we got to praying, and we was praying, and we wasn't hardly getting nowhere, and we talk a little bit and pray. And finally, I made a comment of, something about, well, it's a bad thing. Smoking's kind of a bad thing. And he said, he dropped back and he said, now hold on, a preacher. Said, I've argued with many preachers over this. And he said, I'm going to tell you right now, you'll never convince me that there's anything wrong with it. And I'm like, well, I think we got to the bottom of it. It's fairly obvious. We got to the bottom of it. I said, I think this is where we got to deal with it. So we went in a little bit of it. And finally I asked him the obvious question. If it ain't wrong, what do you need delivered from? Well, it took him back. He didn't know what to say about it. He didn't get deliverance, folks. He never got to the mount. When you get to the place that you can honestly say, down to the most precious thing that you have, Lord, I give you everything. When you can get to the place that you can honestly say, my life and all that it holds, we try to make this work. Young people, listen to me. We try to make this work by hanging on to ourselves. And you can't make it work by hanging on to yourself. The way it works is by giving up yourself to the will of God. Abraham gave up the most precious to the will of God. That's what makes this work. That's what the mount is. That's what the real blessing is, to be able to come to a place of surrender, total giving myself to the Lord. I don't want to see anybody else go away. I don't want to see a sickness among the people. I don't want to see some of the... I'm old-fashioned about it, just terminologies, but I don't want the idea of it going away that we have to accept a lesser life than a righteous life.
Yes.
Folks, there's way too much scriptures. I cannot bring myself to look at scriptures and accept a lesser life than that.
That's so.
There's just too many that tells us that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Where? In this present world. What did he, was he joking about that? No, there's power to do that. I don't have it in myself. I'm going to have to get to the mount to make this happen. I'm going to have to find a place where I can see it in the Lord. It makes sense to me and I understand it because I've been in that place. I wonder what. Put yourself in Abraham's place for just a minute. That trial where he believed that a God that gave him this son was also able to raise him up again.
Yes.
That if he took Isaac's life that the Lord had promised to the seed would be through Isaac.
Yes.
He had promised that. And he was able to keep that. And he could raise him from the dead if he needed to. And he was going to do what the Lord wanted him to do. What it must have felt like for Abraham and Isaac to walk off of that mountain. What it must have been like. Do you think that the Lord was with them?
Yes.
Do you think that the Spirit of the Lord glowed on him? Do you think there was something that was achieved and known there of what God is? What's God to you? It's got to be more than a collective group.
Yes, so.
Salvation's going to have to be you. I got to go to the mount for me. And you need to go to the mount for you. And you need to be able to see that's where it's seen. That's where I understand the reality of this. If it's just an intellectual argument, maybe I'll lose. But you know, it's hard. It's really hard. It's really hard to make an argument between with somebody that's experienced something.
That's right.
You know, you could convince a lot of people around. You remember the blind man in the Bible that Jesus healed? And they tried to say he wasn't healed? Now, you could argue with a lot of people about him not being able to, or him, his blindness and his healing. But you couldn't argue with the blind man about it. There was nothing that was going to take the experience away from him that he was blind and now he sees. There was nothing out of that. The man had met Jesus. That's what we need to do, is to meet Jesus.
Yes.
Don't allow this to be weakened in your heart and mind because of the failures that's been around, because they're immaterial. It doesn't matter. We don't look at it that way. We're not to look at it and say, I'm gonna fit the scriptures to my life. Well, my life is this way. I'm a grumbler and a complainer, so that's another place that's just who humans are. Every once in a while, tell a little lie to get out of trouble. Every once in a while, throw a little fit or a little tantrum to get my way or whatever that. And that's all a part of just being a sinner. The Christian, modern Christian world glorifies, you listen to them, they glorify being a sinner. Because it's a statement of humility to them. I run into them all the time. They love to say, we're just all sinners. We're just all sinners. There's a higher calling than that. That he would grant unto us that we be delivered out of the hands of our enemy, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life? What, was he joking about that? No, that's a powerful scripture. Jesus was made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Where? Out in the treetops? No, in the hearts of men. Jesus was made manifest to do those things. How am I going to see the reality of that? If I don't have that power in my life, what am I going to do? If I read those scriptures, but yet I never find it as a capable thing that I have in my life that I can live beyond these propensities that I have, then how am I going to have to look at the scriptures? But before you take a different view, go to the mount.
Yes, amen.
Go to the mount of the Lord, where it can be seen. Where you'll have the experience of the grace to be able to do that. I tell you the truth, we'll always be human. We will always be human. And we'll always have the human qualities of us. And the scripture teaches us in many times and ways is if there's what scripture even says, brethren, I would that you sin not, but if you do, you have an advocate.
Yes.
Thank God for that. But I would that you sin not, but if you do, there's an advocate, there's a way. God covered all the bases with it. But there's also a pursuit, folks. There's a pursuit.
Yes, there is.
Of holy things. There's a pursuit and a desire and a longing that I want to be like Christ.
Yes.
As it said in Philippians 3, about apprehend, I'm not being caught yet. But I'm chasing after it.
Yes.
And I'm putting all these, what's behind, putting it back, and I'm reaching forth.
Yes.
To those things which are before. Several years ago, we had a woman that kind of hung around. Well, she was a young lady that one of the first times when Brother Sammons done evangelist work in that area up there, she came to a tent meeting and got saved. And she lived saved for a little while, and she went, she moved away and got herself in much, much deep trouble and deep sin. She always remembered about the church and all that. And this is years later. She was a middle-aged woman by then. And she was, well, to put it mildly, she was a woman of the evening. She was of that reputation. And she also was very mental. The devil was hard on her, rough on her. And we got under, I personally got under such a burden for her because I looked at her as the perfect candidate for deliverance.
Yes.
Oh, and did I pray? I prayed and I'd tell the Lord, Lord, you died for Denise.
Yes.
This woman is the perfect candidate for you. This, and I prayed and prayed and prayed for her. And she would call wanting prayer, wanting help. She was tormented. She wanted help. She wanted relief. She wanted help. She wanted prayer. She would come. She came to our camp meeting one time. She went to the altar. She was drunk. She was high, so I don't think she had much opportunity there. But she come for help. She done all this thing. And I so longed in my heart to see God deliver her. Hey, can God deliver?
Yeah.
He didn't. They didn't take care of Denise. And I just couldn't understand it. Lord! It's a perfect opportunity. I know that you can. She's calling regular. She's praying, getting, wanting help. She's doing all these things. You know, finally she made a statement that helped me to understand it. She hated the consequences of sin. She hated it. But she flat said she loved the sin. Listen, we got to get to the mount.
Yes.
You got to get to the place that you lay that aside. Do you know, it doesn't take much to interrupt this. It really doesn't.
That's right.
I had a guy say to me one time, he said, he was listening to some music that he knew wasn't good. And he kept praying. He kept listening to his music and praying that the Lord would deliver him from listening to the music. And he kept listening to the music and kept doing it. And he never got help. So he ends up justifying it to me by saying, I finally got it figured out. Oh, really? Yeah. I was just trying to do it on my own. Said, God really wasn't convicting me of that. That's why I didn't get deliverance from it. It's because I was just trying to quit on my own and God hadn't convicted me of it. And he went on and listened to it. Okay. And that's how we get to the place that we get to.
Yes.
Where it isn't real. God isn't delivering. We can put anything into our lives. Lord, help us.
Yes.
In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. When we get to the point that we say it isn't working, and things is coming up short, let's think about what we're doing.
Yes.
Somebody told me one time, God just wasn't answering prayer like he used to. Okay. I remember reading the story of an old minister that had, there was troubles, congregation or whatever it was. And now, I forget how many days it was, but it was a number of days. This old minister crawled up in this hollow log and stayed in that hollow log, fasting and praying, until God sent the answer. Well, God ain't answering prayer like he used to. How long have you been in the log? Now, honestly, let's get down with it. We do all this stuff and assume all this and stuff. We don't see, I'll say this from my observation in my life around me. It seems like in the last 20 years, our desire to fast and pray has dropped dramatically. We used to fast and pray a lot more 20 years ago than it seems like we do today. Well, God don't answer prayer like he used to. Well, maybe we ain't even going to the mountain anymore. Maybe there's something that's more involved than this. Maybe the Lord's still right. We know he is. Maybe his word's still true. We know it is. Maybe the old timers didn't have the doctrine wrong. Maybe the Bible still teaches a sin-free life. Maybe it still teaches holiness.
Yes.
Maybe it still teaches a power that a person can get that's outside of themselves that leads and guides them in life. That helps them to overcome problems and issues in life. I'm going to submit to you today that it's absolutely just that way, same as it's always been.
Amen.
And we'll cease to believe in this belief system we have if we go down a road of not allowing it to work in our lives. Because at some place we're going to pull the ends of the rope together to where we are living to what we believe and what's going on in our own lives. The Lord help us. I want to look at another scripture. It's over in James. The fifth verse. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain? I don't think the scripture says anything in vain. The spirit that dwelleth in us lusts to envy. I'd say it does. I would say there is a great wrestle goes on in the hearts of people. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble.
Yes.
How do we get the victory? How do we get the victory over ourselves? Over our temptations, over our problems. Too many beliefs, too many people come to the answer of their problems is that I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I always did like the expression better that I'm a a Christian saved from sin by grace. Rather than saying I'm a sinner, because if you're a Christian, it's Christ-like who did no sin. So the whole word play doesn't work to say it that way. I'm a sinning Christian. I'm like Christ sinning. Well, you have to be smarter than me to come up with that play on words. It doesn't work.
That's right.
It doesn't work. I want you to think of something. Is it possible that the great, if we could only open our hearts and minds to understand the greatness of God? We don't understand Him. He's beyond our understanding in greatness,
yes.
In power,
yes.
In glory, beyond all of that, in holiness, in all of that. We're going to ascribe to Him a plan that can't deliver us from the sin that He said He hated. That is really throwing a shot at God. To say that's the best you could do? You instruct us to hate sin, we should abhor it. According to the Scripture, utterly detest it. And at the same time, our God is not a big enough God to give us a plan that can get us out of it. So if I'm going to run down that line, is that you all shouldn't blame me for lying, because I just can't help it. So I teach you at something. I tell you, going to give you something. I teach you at something. Don't blame me. We're all just sinners. Now that's absurd, of course. But how do we get to the place that this Scripture says there's more, that He giveth more grace, whereby He saith, God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. Here's the key. Submit yourselves therefore to God.
Yes.
You know, I hear this Scripture. A lot of people like the last part of this Scripture. Everybody does, because we all like to have the authority. There was some, back when I was young, I wasn't saved. There was a local swimming hole. And I remember a bunch of us gathered up at the swimming hole, and there was a couple ladies come to down there, not exactly proper ladies. They come down there and to the swimming hole, and I still remember this vividly, because there come an awful storm up the valley, lightning and thunder, and I mean it was a rolling, and everybody took off a running, trying to get to the vehicle before this storm hit with lightning and all that, and one of these women stepped out there in the middle of that and throwed her hands up, and in the name of Jesus started rebuking that storm. I run the harder myself. I just didn't want to be around that. But the storm didn't obey. It didn't. I didn't expect it to. So I was, my faith was weak, that's for sure. But she plumb had it wrong. We like to say, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I hear that all the time. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Do you know that if you leave that right there and that's all you do is resist the devil, he'll flee from you? He won't. Just resisting the devil won't make him flee from you. I know a lot of people resist the devil and he don't listen to them. He don't pay no attention to them. You remember the one in the Bible there? Oh, he was gonna do this and that by the name of Jesus, who Paul preached. Well, about Jesus? I know him. No Paul. But who are you?
Yes.
No authority to do anything or say anything.
That's right.
There is an absolute understanding here that needs to be accepted, to understood. It is submit yourself to God.
Yes.
In what? In everything. In everything.
Amen.
You say, well, everything, including what? In everything. My life on this earth. And how long I am to be here is to be submitted to God.
Yes.
My actions, my things, my way, submit to God. Then when you resist the devil, he has nothing.
That's right.
Where can he come to someone? What can he do to someone that says it's God's?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to cause you to be upset at your neighbor. No, you're not. My neighbor's God's. Well, I'm going to get you upset at your children because they... No, you're not. They're God's. How are you going to bother something? How are you going to ruffle the feathers of somebody that gives everything to God? Submit yourself to God.
Yes.
That is the whole, to me, it was the whole key, the whole purpose, the whole place of Abraham's great faithfulness. He submitted himself totally to God. And in that mountain of submission, it'll be seen.
Yes.
Why isn't God healing like he used to? I'll say that God is healing like he used to.
Yes.
God's a master at hiding what he don't want others to see. He is. He's good. He heals. He helps. But I want to tell you something else. The more we submit to God, the more we'll see. It will be seen. The reality of this is in this place. I run into it regular. And I don't want us to get there. But I run into it regular. I know a guy, he's a good friend of mine. He recently told me. I mean, he likes worshiping with us. I mean, he liked that. But he said recently to me, he said, I might be a Christian, but I don't have to put up with that stuff from them. Leaving a place. And he ended up saying to me, we're all just sinners. There's something more than that. Folks, there's something more than that. And I want to tell you, if Dad didn't ever find his mountain, don't mean you can't.
That's right.
If Mom never found the mountain, it don't mean you can't.
Yes.
If the congregation as a whole just don't seem like they ever got to the mountain, it don't mean you can't.
Amen.
If you look around and say those that seem to be the ones that should have been there never really got to the mountain, it don't mean you can't get to the mountain. Because it is the mountains where it's going to be seen. Submit yourself to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God.
Yes, amen.
That's it. Draw nigh to God. Well, it surely isn't our fault. We're all good saints, ain't we? All saved and sanctified. We're all got it going good. We go in there and I pray in the mornings. Pray in the mornings, you know, before I go to bed. Now I lay me down to sleep, and you know, I say a prayer over my meals and I do that, and we go to Sunday services when we can, and Wednesday night sometimes when we can, and we do this, and we got a good way of serving the Lord. We got a good comfortable place that doesn't choke my life too much. It don't cost me too much, and I'm right there, and everything makes sense to me, except the Lord ain't in it. Except for the Lord's distant. Except I don't have power in my life when it comes down to things. When I really need to have the power that to overcome, I don't have it. Then look for something else. Look for something more.
Yes.
Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lord, help us today. I pray that this will be a challenge,
yes,
to you. And like I said, in my mind, it seemed to be more focused to the young people, because we live in such a perverse time.
Yes.
We live in such a time that, and just getting more, that these things, where, I'm going to tell you, when I was growing up, there was a theater called Park Theater that was about 150 miles from where I lived that played bad movies. And in order for anybody to do that, they had to make that kind of an effort to go do it. And you don't need to make near that kind of effort to do bad things now. And there is a suggestion on every wind of something perverse. There is entertainments everywhere. The accessibility of it is everywhere. And the power to resist it, overcome it, and withstand it is going to be in the mountain.
That's right.
Yes, amen.
It's going to be in your willingness to submit yourself to God or to not. The victory that belongs to you. It's this way for every generation, but I see an urgency of the time. Did you get a hold of this experience to where you can know in your own heart that this is right and this is the way of the Lord? You pray for me. I want to be faithful.